हरि ओम सहना ववतु सहना भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So page 13. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Hanging his head in great shame, Satrajit took the gem and returned home, all the while feeling remorse for his sinful behavior. Pondering over his grievous offense and worried about the possibility of conflict with the Lord's mighty devotees, King Satrajit thought, "How can I cleanse myself of my contamination, and how may Lord Achyuta become satisfied with me? What can I do to regain my good fortune and avoid being cursed by the populace for being so short-sighted, miserly, foolish, and avaricious? I shall give my daughter, the jewel of all women, to the Lord, together with the Shyamataka jewel. That indeed is the only proper way to pacify him." Having thus intelligently made up his mind, King Satrajit personally arranged to present Lord Krishna with his fair daughter and the Shyamataka jewel. The Lord married Satyabhama in proper religious fashion. Possessed of excellent behavior, along with beauty, broad-mindedness, and all other good qualities, she had been sought by many men. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, Krishna had brought home Jambavati and married her, but the arrangement did not take place in the same way. According to all the rules, yata vidhi, since Jambavan's family was not present. Because Satyabhama was endowed with great character and beauty and other accompanying qualities, she was sought by many others. It will be explained that she had been promised in marriage to Kritavarma and others. The Supreme Personality of Godhead told Satrajit, "We do not care to take this jewel back, O King. You are the sun god's devotee, so let it stay in your possession. Thus, we will also enjoy its benefits." Srila Jiva Goswami concludes, "None of us, including Balaram, will accept this gem. O King, please protect your people." Krishna utters this sarcastically. "Whatever good results, seen and unseen, come from this jewel should come to us, since the jewel is my great devotee." Sridhar Swami explains that because Satrajit had no sons, the jewel would ultimately come to Krishna anyway. Because he had no sons, so it would go down to Satyabhama. So conclusion. One can understand Krishna by devotional service. Strong material attachments lead to absorption in sense gratification, which results in offenses. Because of material attachments, Satrajit offended Krishna by refusing to grant his request, by spreading ill rumors about him. Because of attachment for the Shyamataka jewel and the resulting anger, Jambavan fought with Krishna for 28 days. Jambavan was actually a great devotee of Lord Krishna, but because he was angry, he could not recognize his master and thought him to be an ordinary man. Lust, anger, and greed run parallel in the heart and check one's progress in the spiritual path. Although Jambavan was a devotee by nature, he did not know that his opponent was Krishna, while he gave service to the Lord by his bodily strength. But as soon as Krishna was pleased by the fighting, Jambavan immediately understood that his opponent was none other than the Supreme Lord himself. Thus, he could understand Krishna by his service, right? Because that's the only way, through service. You can't know otherwise. It's not that our abilities of knowledge or our mental abilities or our physical ability, anything, we can know the Lord. Because the Lord's beyond the material nature. And whatever we have in the way of our conditioning, it's all material. So through our conditioned nature, we cannot know Krishna. Right? And the soul itself, without contact of the transcendental associates, then they also can't know Krishna. Even though they have the qualification of function on the spiritual platform, then the problem is the maximum they can get with the material consciousness is just the Lord's eternal, and the Lord is unlimited. So they can only get a glimpse of Brahman, like that, but not actually the full knowledge of Brahman. Does that make sense? So only devotees and devotion, through devotees and devotional service can the Lord be known. No one else can. If that one wonders why others can't understand, it's because they're not doing service. So that's the idea, is that all the preaching, all the different festivals, all the arrangement is so that people get exposed and in that way do some service. That then increases their chance of actually understanding. Yes?
As a side point, regarding Satyabhama and Satraji, we know that the nature of the father goes to the daughter, and we see it's quite often that Krishna takes queens, or who else, there was some other example, like Rukmi, the brother of Rukmini, that they don't have a very good character.
No, but the son takes on the quality of the mother.
Yeah, but my point is that Satyabhama, she was taking the, supposedly, taking the qualities of...
She's getting the nice qualities of her father.
Because
she's a devotee. He's not. So then just the general qualities will be there. How you use them, that's another thing. By association, then that can has a very great influence. But a lot of it also comes from previous. So, because she is, you know, the Lord's associate, therefore you don't really have to worry.
I'm not worried for her. I'm worried with how we make our decisions.
The thing is, girls, if they have a good character in that, then that's just accepted like that.
We shouldn't think that in the future it might, you know.
Not necessarily. You go by what you see, what's there. It means you know what's there, but you go by what you see. Right? Because that's why it mentions that, you know, gold can be taken from a dirty place, instruction can be taken even from a, you know, sinful person, and a girl can be, you know, from any family. Because the point is this, if she has that good character, it's not a problem. Because by that association, other things and all, the nice qualities will come out. Does that make sense? So you're dealing with the positive qualities. Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes the point that Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, those are defined by their good qualities. Right? Malechas and Yavanas are defined by their bad qualities. So that's those who are from actually has the human nature, then they just have to connect that to Krishna. But those who are not from the human nature, they actually have to give up the bad qualities. Not that they can just in the same way just engage that in Krishna's service. Does that make sense? Because one becomes a Malechan Yava because of bad qualities, not because of good qualities. So, yeah, so one sees that's why there is the element of the family's involvement or authorities are involved in the arrangement of the marriage, because they'll look at all the things. Well, the boy and girl will just go, you know, she's beautiful and he's cute and that's it. Like, is there anything more you have to worry about? You know, he's got a motorcycle, you know, it's like, he doesn't get better than that, right? You know? So that's the whole point is they'll look at that, they'll see the natures, they'll see the things. Because in general, you're always going to look at similar natures, similar values and everything like that, because that will then, the relationship will go on very naturally. While if you are using those who are not from that kind of background, then the difficulty comes up is that, somebody has to adjust. You know what I'm saying? And so then that's the difficulty. Does that make sense? So that's why seeing that in general is that at least in the domestication process that the man is making adjustment. That's why if the man's higher than the wife, then she will have a tendency to respect that position. You know, so, like that. Otherwise, then it's not going to work. Is that okay. Chapter 57. Satrajit murdered, the jewel returned. Pratigya. The devotees are always faithful to the Lord, and the Lord always protects his devotees. Chapter 57 summarizes questions and answers. The rhetorical questions uttered in verses 4, 14, and 31 do not come under this study. Adhyaya Prakashika. This chapter describes how Lord Krishna, after the murder of Satyajit, killed Shatadanva and had Akrura bring the Shamataka jewel back to Dwarka. When Lord Krishna heard that the Pandavas had supposedly been burnt to death in the palace of Lak, he went to Hastinapur with Lord Baladev to maintain the principles of worldly protocol. Even though, being omniscient, he knew the report was false. With Krishna out of Dwarka, Akrura and Kritavarma incited Shatadanva to steal the Shamataka jewel from Satrajit. Bewildered by their words, the sinful Shatadanva murdered King Satrajit in his sleep and stole the gem. Queen Satyabhama was overcome with grief at the death of her father, and she rushed to Hastinapur to report the sorrowful news to Sri Krishna. Together with Lord Baladev, Krishna then returned to Dwarka to kill Shatadanva. Shatadanva went to Akrura and Kritavarma to beg for help, but when they refused, he left the jewel with Akrura and fled for his life. Krishna and Balaram pursued him, and Lord Krishna beheaded him with his sharp-edged disc. When the Lord could not find the Shamataka jewel on Shatadanva's person, Baladev told him that Shatadanva must have left it in someone's care. Baladev further suggested that Krishna return to Dwarka to find the jewel, while he, Baladev, would take the opportunity to visit the king of Vaideha. Lest Lord Balaram traveled to Mathila and remained there for a few years, during which he taught King Duryodhan the art of fighting with a club. Lord Krishna returned to Dwarka and had the funeral rites performed for Satyajit. When Akrura and Kritavarma heard how Shatadanva had met his death, they fled Dwarka. Soon, many kinds of disturbances, mental, physical, and so on, began to afflict Dwarka. And the citizens concluded that the cause of these troubles must be Akrura's exile. The city elders explained, once while there was a drought in Benares, and the king of the region gave his daughter in marriage to Akrura's father, who was visiting Benares at the time. As a result of this gift, the drought ended. The elders, thinking Akrura had the same power as his father, declared that Akrura should be brought back. Lord Krishna knew that Akrura's exile was not the main cause of the disturbances. Still, he had Akrura brought back to Dwarka. And after properly honoring him with worship and greeting him with sweet words, Krishna told him, I know Shatadanva left the jewel in your care. Since Satyajit had no sons, his daughter's offspring are the just claimants to whatever property he has left behind. Nonetheless, it would be best for you to keep the troublesome jewel in your care. Just let me show it once to my relatives. Akrura presented Krishna with the jewel, which shone as brilliantly as the sun. And after the Lord had shown it to his family members, he returned it to Akrura. Shloka Anusharanam. Summary of verses. Verses 1 to 6. The assassination of Satrajit. Because of offenses to the Vrajavasis in association with demons, Akrura and Kritavarma were forced to join a conspiracy declared by sinful men. Right? So by that association. Because one may ask, well, how does he do this? But it's by bad association. And dealing, and upsetting the Vrajavasis. Right? Verses 7 to 21. Krishna kills Shatadanva. Krishna followed the injunction of the Shastras that one who has rebelled against a superior person must be punished in proportion to the severity of the offense. Right? So since he had killed Satyajit, therefore then capital punishment would be the natural, dispensation of justice. 22 to 42. Krishna claims the jewel from Akrura. Although Akrura was implicated in the murder well, I guess of his father-in-law, Krishna is still protected as pure devotee. Right, so even though he's a devotee, he's had these problems, but Krishna is still protecting him. Doesn't mean that he's not getting the reaction. But still, he's able to perform his service, he's able to function. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it doesn't mean that protection means nothing happens to you. It just means that you'll always be able to do devotional service. Okay. Verses 1 to 6, the assassination of Satrajit. Sri Bhadarayani said, although Lord Govinda was fully aware of what had actually occurred, when he heard reports that the Pandavas and Queen Kunti had burned to death, he went with Lord Balaram to the kingdom of the Kurus to fulfill the family obligations expected of him. The two lords met with Bhishma, Kripa, Vidura, Gandhari, and Drona. Showing sorrow equal to theirs, they cried out, alas, how painful this is. Footnote 8. Srila Sridhar Swami points out that those who were involved in the assassination attempt were, of course, not at all sorry to hear of the Pandavas' death. The persons specifically mentioned were, however, Bhishma, Kripa, Vidura, Gandhari, and Drona, who were actually unhappy to hear of the supposed tragedy. Right, they were upset. Nobody else was upset. Right? Taking advantage of this opportunity, O King, Akura and Kritavarma went to Shatadanga and said, why not take the Shyamataka jewel? Satrajit promised his jewel-like daughter to us, but then gave her to Krishna instead. Contemptuously and neglecting us, so why should Satrajit not follow his brother's path? Right, so you get a lot of problems from all this marriage stuff. Right? Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna Book, when Krishna and Balaram were away from the city of Dwarka, there was a conspiracy to take the Shyamataka jewel away from Satrajit. The chief conspirator was Shatadanga, who was among those who had wanted to marry Satyabhama, Satrajit's beautiful daughter. Satrajit had promised that he would give his beautiful daughter in charity to various candidates, but later the decision was changed, and Satyabhama was given to Krishna along with the Shyamataka jewel. Satrajit had no desire to give the jewel away with his daughter, and Krishna, knowing his mentality, accepted his daughter but returned the jewel, right? So he gave it just because he figured that this was the right thing to do, but he actually didn't want to give it. So Krishna, knowing that, just gave it back. After getting back the jewel from Krishna, he was satisfied and kept it with him always. There was a conspiracy by many men, including even Akura and Kritavarma, who were devotees of Lord Krishna, to take the jewel from Satrajit. Akura and Kritavarma joined the conspiracy because they wanted the jewel for Krishna. Right? They wanted it for Krishna. While the others, they wanted it for themselves, or, you know, wanted to get back, you know, because he didn't give the daughter, all these different things. They knew that Krishna wanted the jewel and that Satrajit had not delivered it properly. He didn't want it for himself. It was for Ugrasena, because, you know, being the king, he should have the best of the kingdom. Others joined the conspiracy because they were disappointed in not having the hand of Satyabhama. Some of them incited Shatadanva to kill Satrajit and take away the jewel. The question is generally raised, why did a great devotee like Akura join this conspiracy? Also, the answer is given by great authorities like Jiva Goswami, is that although Akura was a great devotee, he was cursed by the inhabitants of Vrindavan because of his taking Krishna away from their midst. Because of wounding their feelings, Akura was forced to join the conspiracy declared by sinful men. Right? So because of their not getting properly the association, then he ends up in bad association. Similarly, Kritavarma was a devotee, but because of his intimate association with Kamsa, he was contaminated by sinful reactions, and he also joined the conspiracy. So who you associate with is very important. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, both Akura and Kritavarma were furious with Satrajit because he had insulted Lord Krishna and spread false rumors about him in Dwarka. Under normal circumstances, Akura and Kritavarma would have been most pleased that Lord Krishna married the beautiful Satyabhama. Being pure devotees, they could not actually be unhappy about this match, nor could they become jealous rivals of the Lord. Therefore, they had an ulterior motive in behaving like his rivals. right? There was some other aspect so that they could, they in that way, behaved in that way, then to get the jewel for Krishna. But that they got involved in this thing that was not very nice and pleasing to Krishna, then was because of bad association, right? And displeasing the Brajavasis. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, his mind thus influenced by their advice, wicked Shatadanva murdered Satyajit in his sleep simply out of greed. In this way, the sinful Shatadanva shortened his own lifespan. Footnote 9. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, the word asatama indicates that Shatadanva is basically evil-minded and a firm hater of Satyajit. But so he already had that. It didn't take much to get him inspired. Right? As the women of Satyajit's palace screamed and helplessly wept, Shatadanva took the jewel and left, like a butcher after he has killed some animals. Verses 7 to 21, Krishna kills Shatadanva. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, when Satyabhama saw her dead father, she was plunged into grief, lamenting, my father, oh, I am killed. She fell unconscious. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, hearing about the death, Satyabhama went there and saw his dead body. She was inundated with grief or offered herself to grief, or she was thrown thrown by fate into lamentation. She did not consider the faults of her father out of affection, or she finally fainted. The reason is the Lila Shakti, which creates varieties of rasas in the pastimes. Right, because they're taking the mood of the of ordinary persons, and so through the Lila Shakti, then they go through these different sancharis, you know, the different aspects that are there. And so then for them, it's just part of the pastime. Because otherwise, then, you know, they know all things like Krishna. He goes to Dwarka, and I mean, he goes to Hastinapur, and then takes part with those who are lamenting about the death of the Pandavas, and he also joins in that lamentation. You know, it's just the natural, you give that support. Though they knew otherwise, but the point is this is how the pastime will unfold. Because then later, it'll come out as something glorious. Right? Because then the Pandavas will reappear for Draupadi's Swayamvar. Like that. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, Queen Satyabhama put her father's corpse in a large vat of oil and went to Hastinapur, where she sorrowfully told Lord Krishna, who was already aware of the situation, about her father's murder. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, because the necessary rites like shraddhas after burning the body could not be done, she put his body in oil. Or she did this because she wanted the Lord to bring him to life. Or she wanted to show the body of the Lord in order that he grieve and become angry. But the Lord already knew the inevitable future results because the jewel had been possessed by the wrong people, such as Prasena. Right? So those who shouldn't be, then they got so much trouble. Right? Yes?
So we see here that although those are his devotees, still he doesn't, you know, interrupt or interfere with their karma, with their free will and desire.
Yes, yes.
So how can we understand that? Because in our mind, you know, Krishna karma means Krishna, you know, favorable.
But it's for what's going to be useful for your devotional service. And so for them, then, by in this way, you see that then they come to become more Krishna conscious. So what will work for one individual or another will be different. So if things go nicely for one, things don't go nicely, or they go nicely then not nicely, or not nicely then nicely. It's whatever will work for that. Because the point is devotion means it's the natural affection that one has. So that can't be forced. Otherwise, what's the meaning? The internal potency, they have their natural affection, and they always act according to that. Jivas, then they can act in different ways, either favorable or not. So the whole point is that when the jivas act in a way that's purely based on that affection, then that adds a flavor to the already existing wonderful pastimes that are going on with his eternal servants. Does that make sense? That's all already wonderful because they're his energies. They already have that natural position. But since we're an expansion of those energies, then we may have that choice. So when we make that choice, it's about Krishna, then that's very pleasing to Krishna. But you see in here, they can be Krishna conscious. Satyajit was never a devotee like that. But Krura was. Kritavarma was. But by bad association, then the practices they did or things they did was not nice. Does that make sense? You know, Kritavarma also gets in trouble later at Kurukshetra. He's one of the few that are left after the battle. I think Satyaki and Kritavarma, they may be, I think they're the only two that are left.
Kripacharya.
Huh? Kripacharya was the other side.
Kritavarma was also Kaurava's side.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, so those three, and Ashwatthama. You know, and the Pandavas. And what is it? The extra son. What was his name?
Vikarna.
Vikarna?
Yuyutsa.
Huh? Yuyutsa. Yuyutsa. Yeah. So that was it. They were the only survivors of the whole thing. Yeah, so... And so then that whole thing with the dynasty disappearing was because of the argument between Kritavarma and Satyaki. You know. So like that, you know, somebody's gotta you know, arrange these things. So Krishna is taking care and how in cultivating that. So then accordingly then it's there. But you always have that free will. Does that make sense? How, what reactions you'll get, this and that, then Krishna's taking care. But the point is naturally they'll follow along the lines of the laws of nature, but it's how much and to what degree, that's up to Krishna. Does that make sense? You know, it's not that you drink too much orange juice and your car gets a flat tire. You know. Unless, of course, you drink so much orange juice you're so heavy that your car gets a flat tire. That's another thing. But, you know. But it'll be in, it means you drink too much orange juice, you get a, you know, your stomach goes funny or something. Does that make sense? That kind of thing, it'll be within what's the natural laws, but it's just what volume of reaction you get. So you still have the free will. Because it's devotional service is what you do in the situation. So that's always, because bhakti means you do those things to please Krishna. Right? And the Krishna karma means what situations you're in. Not what you'll do with it. Does that make sense? Because you do an action, it gives you a result. That result is part of the situation. You know what I'm saying? So knowledge, skills, endeavor, result, those are all situational. What is your attitude in all that? What is your purpose in all that? That's where the free will aspect is. Does that make sense? Or?
Yeah.
So in other words, the Krishna karma is only controlling the situations. But that's based on our interests, on our desire. Yes, Mo?
The doubt still remains is that Akura, being a devotee, had direct association with the Lord, also with the Vishnumurti when he had that vision in Jamuna. And then he behaves after it, he behaves in a funny way. So it's illogical basically.
But at the same time, as the devotee goes to the temple, he's there for the program, he's very much absorbed, and then when he goes home, then he may get distracted by so many things that are there. You know what I'm saying? So the point is it's a glory that they have that position. But the point is then how they'll, you know, how it'll progress. Because we see as Akrura, when it's mentioned about the nine processes, he's mentioned in connection with perfection by prayers. So then that by that absorption in the prayers and that to the Lord, he comes to that platform. You know, so that's where his perfection is in that aspect. But these other aspects, is because they're individuals, then they can be involved. So that's the difference you see, is that how you say, the residents of Vrindavan, they never have that kind of an aspect. But in Dwarka, you may see some of that. But in Vrindavan, you don't. That's why we're focused on Vrindavan. So for us, our sadhana in that, it'll have those similar elements, more like Dwarka. We have the opportunity. We go to the temple. We see the deity. We serve. We chant the holy name. But at the same time, is then if we're not fully fixed, then we get distracted. So that's all. If you're not fully fixed, these things can happen. So,
yeah. Madam, it says that the jewel, because he was in the hands of Prasena, it created so much havoc.
Yeah, because Prasena took it, then he got killed. See, if Prasena hadn't taken it, then it would have just gone its normal course, and then, you know, whoever it is, Akura, Kritavarma, one of them would have married Satyabhama, and then they can go ahead and kill each other and all that kind of stuff. And it wouldn't have had a big thing like that. But because Satrajit was actually not qualified for the gem, and then his brother, and then now these other, so that's the whole point, is it just makes trouble because it's in the hands of unqualified people. Right? Well, when it first came, at that time, when he said, give it to Ugrasena, if he had, then things would have worked out nicely. Right? So none of this would have happened. And, you know, good chance Krishna would have married Satyabhama anyway, because being one of his eternal consorts, it's going to work out that way. You know. So, you know, yeah. You would have gotten another letter that they're going to arrange to marry me to. Kritavarma, you know, you please go like this. You know. Yeah. It would have worked out. But, so if it would have been Ugrasena's possession, it would be in capable hands. Because he would have had it just for the benefit of the kingdom. Because wherever it is, then there's no famine, there's no drought, all these natural calamities aren't there. Plus it produces a ridiculous amount of gold, which they can use nicely for what they're doing. And so, you know, for them it's not that much of a ridiculous amount of gold. But the point is that it would have all benefit for the kingdom. But because Satyajit wanted to keep it himself because of his detachment just for himself, it wasn't actually for others' benefit, then it didn't work out very good. So, we'll go.
In one sense, it seems like Yamataka Chola, the influence is more powerful, more auspicious nearly than Krishna's, because when it was away, then there was no famine and no calamities, but when it was away from Dwarka, then all of these.
Yeah, but we're saying that those calamities are due to that.
Yes.
Could it not have been due to them behaving badly and killing Satrajit?
No, but I mean that.
Could it not have been because Krishna and Balaram had left Dwarka? Remember when it says the ordinary people would think these things. But that's why it specifically mentions the ordinary people.
Right, sorry.
It doesn't say that the great sages were contemplating this. Right. Is that?
Yeah. Okay. When you said about when Akrura was being dispatched for this particular job of getting Krishna back to Mathura, so then he did it as a part of his duty.
He did it as part of his duty.
Yes.
But duty to?
To Kamsa.
And Kamsa is a?
Yeah.
Is but a?
Is a demon.
Yes, thank you. So by hanging out with demons all day, it doesn't have some kind of an effect?
No, my question is that gopis, you know, they cursed Akrura. So then how can devotees curse other devotees?
I want to take that one. See, the general thing would be to take the position that the acharyas take, which is showing the weakness or fault in Kritavarma and Akrura by bad association. And so then, because of this bad association, therefore then these calamities came up for them. Right? So nowhere do they mention any fault on the part of the Vrajavasis.
That
the gopis were at fault for cursing him. We just read that.
No.
Or that Akrura and Kritavarma were at fault because they associate with Kamsa and they offended the Vrajavasis.
Okay.
So it's not that they specifically sat down and took kusa grass and, you know, then, you know, whatever it is, threw it on the ground or whatever they were doing to curse him. It's because they were upset with him. That's the curse. Not that they specifically cursed him. So upsetting devotees is never good for you. You know what I'm saying? So they didn't actually go out there and find the local heebie-jeebie and then have them do some mantra-tantra and that. And
so then upsetting pure devotees is as good as a curse?
The point is that by getting the by pleasing pure devotees, then it brings you closer to Krishna. Not pleasing the pure devotees, then how is that going to be of benefit? So you're saying, in other words, there's no need to try to change the terminology. You know what I'm saying? Is that it's not auspicious. So how you want to interpret that, that's another thing. But you don't have to take it and put it into the category of a curse. You understand? It's just like Shatadanva, by killing Shatrajit, who was his senior, superior, then is shortening his own lifespan. But you don't have to call it a curse. Right? It's just inauspicious. You do inauspicious things, it reduces your piety. So you behave in a way that upsets the great devotees, and so therefore then it has reactions. Because the idea is you're trying to please, you're trying to deal nicely. Right? Does that make sense? When we're reading the pastimes in Braj, is anybody upsetting anybody?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're trying nicely. I mean, they're playful and this and that, but that's another thing.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Because it has that human element, but it's all that niceness of the human element. Well, in Dwarka, then because of the opulence, then the Varnashram comes into more play, then there's all those things of following Dharma or not. And so then you get a variety there that you won't get in Vrindavan. You know what I'm saying? So, therefore, we should be careful about that the word curse for us then has a particular connotation. And therefore, then, if it's alluded to as that's the kind of result he got, we don't then apply that position, cursing is bad. So if he got that because of displeasing the gopis, so that's a curse, so they cursed him, so that's bad. Don't make that kind of association. Right? We have to be very careful about that. Does that make sense? You know any Bengali?
Not this part.
No, just enough to just say, you know, a little peaceful, we're having class here. Just, you know, it's pleasantly. Just tell them that. When it catches the villagers' attention, you go, Mago! Yeah, that'll get their attention. Yeah. You don't mind if they keep walking, but then they just stop there. Yes.
Like here we see Akrura and Kritavarma. They wanted to do a particular service to Krishna, that they wanted to get jewels. But instead of waiting, they take like unauthorized means to do it.
Yes, yes, that's why then you... It's not just the end justifies the means. It's not a thing. The means has to... The means produces a particular result. And so you can say that results for Krishna, but you can also see other results come. Okay, they got the jewel, yes, but they also got he ended up with the death of Krishna's, father-in-law. So that's not exactly wonderful.
Because of that reaction, it in one sense affects the devotional service also, that Akrura had to be away from the Lord.
That's another thing, but their ability to remain devoted to the Lord, that may or may not remain. This depends upon their position. If they've already come to that higher platform, then that will remain, but it just doesn't mean that their situation doesn't change. But if we're a sadhakas and then we do that, then it can affect our devotional service.
So we need to be very careful.
Yes, that's why we have the recommended methods of dealing and all that. Because by the modern methods, you can never define what you should do. Because the first thing that has to be understood, the liberal mentality is there is no standards. That's the first thing, because it's not about authority. Because all troubles are coming from authority. Because authority, then there's a structure. There's a hierarchy. That means that if you're hierarchy, there's not equality. And then, that's the whole thing. So to make things equal means you can't have a standard, because if you look, everybody's different. So there's not equalness all the way across. There's uniqueness, and then the ability to apply your uniqueness, in its own capacity, that's the equality. But to say, no, it has to be exactly the same opportunity, then that doesn't make sense, because how many people can do that? You know what I'm saying? So that's the difficulty, is that it will come across that all these are... you can't actually establish what's right. It'll always be going on and on and on, because whatever it is, you take a general thing, but as soon as the general is accomplished, then you'll get into detail. And then in that you get into detail until you get down to the individual. So there's no end, because the whole point is there's always a problem. There's always a fault, because that's your position. So if there's nothing at fault, what's your position? You have nothing to do. So it's not a positive thing, right? Because by adjusting others, that will make everything right. By bringing everybody else down, now we make everyone equal. But how have we done anything of value? It's like the guys go into, Calcutta, they go on a march, they close down Calcutta, they have a bund, and what do they want? More money. But the problem is what they haven't realized is that in their closing down the market for that day, crores and crores and crores are lost. So where's that money going to come from? Or the people go out and riot against the government that they want things for the people, and to do that they burn the buses, the public buses. Those are their buses. Now they have no buses to ride on. You know what I'm saying? So we're not talking about something very intelligent here. Does that make sense? So we have to be very, very careful, is that when we're dealing in these variety of areas, they have their natural form how they should be given. That's why the Shastras say certain things. And we need to follow those. And if we don't, we make up our own. It's always going to have some inauspicious element to it, the situation. That we're doing it to please Krishna, you see Krishna's protecting his devotees. Right? Because that was their ultimate goal. But because of bad association, the method they used was sinful. And so then that itself creates a reaction. Does that make sense? Yeah. So you can use it, but it gives a reaction, because the reason certain things are recommended is because they're pleasing to Krishna. So we see sometimes devotees are not following those rules when it comes to direct relationship to Krishna. But if it's not in direct relationship to Krishna, then it gives the natural results that it naturally gives. Is that... Okay. people. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. When Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram heard this news, O King, they exclaimed, "Alas, this is the greatest tragedy for us." Thus imitating the ways of human society, they lamented, their eyes brimming with tears. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna Book, when Krishna was informed by Satyabhama of the murder of his father-in-law, he began to lament like an ordinary man. His great sorrow is, again, a strange thing. Lord Krishna has nothing to do with the action and reaction, but because he was playing the part of a human being, he expressed his full sympathy for the bereavement of Satyabhama, and his eyes filled with tears when he heard about the death of his father-in-law. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. The Supreme Lord returned to his capital with his wife and elder brother. After arriving in Dwarka, he readied himself to kill Shatadanva and retrieve the jewel from him. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, Kritavarma and Akura had of course helped Shatadanva. Krishna knew through spies where the jewel was, but later is said that he searched Shatadanva's clothing. This was because of his absorption in human pastimes, controlled by his dear devotees. He thus gathered his friends in order that they help him. Right, because if he does things together, because he doesn't have to do anything to make anything work, just his desires, energies take care. So to take care in the past times, you see, he goes out, you know, takes Kritavarma's associates with him to remove the rumors like that, and this, then he deals with others who are dealing in the particular way that's in line with this. And so, in this way, he takes part in all these pastimes, the human pastimes, because it gives opportunity to associate. He just sits there and just makes everything happen. Where's the association? Where are the pastimes? So the wonderfulness is about the interaction, the association with Krishna. Then Shatadanva fled and Krishna decided to kill him alone. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, upon hearing that Lord Krishna was preparing to kill him, Shatadanva was struck with fear. To save his life, he approached Kritavarma and begged him for help. But Kritavarma replied as follows. Kritavarma said, I dare not offend the Supreme Lords Krishna and Balaram. Indeed, how can one who troubles them expect any good fortune? Kamsa and all his followers lost both their wealth and their lives because of enmity towards them. And after battling them 17 times, Jarasandha was left without even a chariot. It means he had to walk back. Okay. His appeal refused. Shatadanda went to Akura and begged him for protection. But Akura similarly told him, who would oppose the two personalities of Godhead if he knew their strength? It is the Supreme Lord who creates, maintains, and destroys this universe simply as his pastime. The cosmic creators cannot even understand his purpose, bewildered as they are by his illusory Maya. As a child of seven, Krishna uprooted an entire mountain and held it aloft as easily as a young boy picks up a mushroom. I offer my obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, whose every deed is amazing. He is the Supreme Soul, the unlimited source and fixed center of all existence. So you can see why he's the became perfect by prayers, right? He just so nicely says everything. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, his appeal thus rejected by Akura also, Shatadanda placed the precious jewel in Akura's care and fled on a horse that could travel 100 yojanas, 800 miles. That means they could go that far without resting. Right? So it has to be a very special horse. Right? But still not far enough. Right? 800 miles. That's like 1,200 kilometers. That's almost from here to Delhi.
That's called an airplane.
Huh?
That's called an airplane.
Yes.
Right?
Hmm?
Akura and Kritavarma were
one of those who inspired Satyadharma to kill Satrajit.
It said in the things when they were talking is that they weren't directly there. They just played along with the idea that they would get the jewels. So there wasn't so much that their direct aspect is that means they were involved, but not that they personally were inspiring him. Others were like that, because more from the side of that Satrajit cheated them by not giving their daughter. But the point is, what they don't realize is she would only married one of them. That means whoever else they didn't marry, then they would still feel bad and feel envious towards the one that she did. So they're not quite catching that. Yeah. But here, it's his... Okay, Srila Sanatana Goswami remarks, Shatadanva, inclined to sin or inspired by Akrura, thought that the gem should be possessed by a great person. He therefore deposited it with Akrura, since he thought he was a great devotee. Akrura accepted it by the order of the Lord, according to Sridhar Swami. There should be a great result if the jewel is kept with devotion by a great devotee. Otherwise, there will be disaster. So that was Krishna's point, is being kept by people who shouldn't be keeping it. Because only if a great devotee has it, and you know, it's kept with devotion by a great devotee, then everything will work nice. So since people had the idea that Akrura was bringing auspiciousness to the kingdom, then by it being with him, then he would be bringing auspiciousness.
It says that Shatadharma inclined to sin or inspired by
Akrura. Inspired by Akrura, thought that it should be...
Maybe it should be end. Because how this tool can be or...
Inclined by sin is that he just wanted to get the jewel and this and that, and then he left it with him. Or, how you say, inspired by Akrura. It could be and. I don't know. You have to look at the original.
It is or only.
It is or only. Yes. It is or only.
It just doesn't make sense.
It means we saw from before the Shatadanda is inclined towards sin. Like that. But then with Akrura's inspiration, then he sees that it should be with a great person, not necessarily that Akrura is telling him to leave it with him. See, the point is, Shatadanva could have also at this point taken the jewel, taken it to Krishna. Right? And then seen what would happen from there. But he decided he would just run off. But as pointed out by Akrura, if this is the person who's creating, maintaining, and destroying everything at the whole universe, then where are you going to hide? Right? You know, Durvasa Muni already tried. It didn't work so well for him.
Can you hear, like, Shatadanva, he was already inclined to perform a sin, okay, killing Satrajit. And moreover, we had Akrura and this other person, Krutal Varma, who were the inspirants. They were inspiring that we should do this because they wanted to kill. Therefore, it is called. Because he was anyway inspired.
No, but that's to take the gem, but then the gem should be possessed by a great person.
Yeah, so that's Akrura, then they are thinking. He's thinking of Shatadhanu.
Okay.
But initially, we had in the last chapter, we saw that Satrajit was worshipping this particular jewel in the temple, and he had priest. You know? And is that the reason why? Because a non-devotee was worshipping the jewel, that, you know, both of them were dead now, Prasena and...
Yes. Okay.
Is it so?
Oh, is it so?
Because it says that...
Means that it has to be in the possession of a great devotee. And since Satrajit was not a great devotee, and he just had the Brahmins, hired Brahmins, but you don't know if the Brahmins were devotees or not. That's not said. The point is Prasena's name is mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if Satyajit wasn't properly dealing so much, but Prasena was even more. You know, it was just more of a it was more of a prestige thing. Because otherwise, why would you wear it when you go out hunting? What do you need the jewel with you when you go hunting for?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's absolutely not necessary. So it's a prestige thing. So they're not so qualified.
Anyway, belong to the royal order, so
they belong to the royal order. But still, the point is that something of this nature, the nature of the jewel, is to be worshipped with devotion by a great devotee. neither of them were a great devotee. Mm-hmm. They may have been doing the worship, at least Satyajit was, but his brother wasn't. Mm-hmm. And so it didn't work out for his brother, so then he should have understood it at that time. So Krishna gave him opportunity to give it to a great devotee, but he didn't take it. So he kept it, and then things didn't work out for him either. The Lord thought of the welfare of the people, right? So if he had given it to Ugrasena, then it would have worked for everybody. But because Satyajit was attached to it, even after so much trouble, he was still attached to it. Then he, was only thinking of himself. So that's the problem. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear King, Krishna and Balaram mounted Krishna's chariot, which flew the flag of Garuda and was yoked with tremendously swift horses and pursued their elder's murderer. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna Book, "When Krishna and Balaram were informed of the flight of Shatadanva, they mounted their chariot, its flag marked by a picture of Garuda, and followed immediately. Krishna is particularly angry with Shatadanva and wanted to kill him because he had killed Satyajit, a superior personality. Satyajit happened to be the father-in-law of Krishna, and it is the injunction of the Shastras that one who is Guru Druha, who has rebelled against a superior person, must be punished in proportion to the severity of the offense. Because Shatadanva had killed his father-in-law, Krishna was determined to kill him by any means." Footnote 10. Srila Jiva Goswami mentions that actually Garuda personally flew above the chariot. He appeared like a flag to the people watching. People watching, they see a flag. But actually, Garuda was just flying above. In a garden on the outskirts of Mithila, the horse Shatadanva was riding collapsed. Yeah, because he's going from down up rather than Delhi across. So his 800 miles were finished. Yes. Starting from Dwarka, must be. It's right next to Bengal. Well, if you go up to Delhi, which is closer this way, and down, then it gets down to almost to Calcutta. Mm-hmm. But if you put it the other way, then it's not that. In a garden on the outskirts of Mithila, the horse Shatadanva was riding collapsed. Terrified, he abandoned the horse and began to flee on foot, with Krishna in angry pursuit. As Shatadanva fled on foot, the Supreme Lord, also going on foot, cut off his head with his sharp-edged disc. The Lord then searched Shatadanva's upper and lower garments for the Shamataka jewel. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, "Though he was full of all knowledge, Bhagavan, he searched for the jewel to fool Balaram, who is watching at a distance. This was because of his absorption in desiring exciting human pastimes, filled with prema for his dear devotees. Not bringing Shatadanva to Balaram, without asking him for news of the jewel, he cut off his head with his chakra. He did this to show his great anger at Shatadanva. Though Akura was his devotee, the Lord had a desire to punish him after some time by creating a stigma, because he had also schemed due to bad association." Right? Because of the bad association, he got involved. That's the whole point. Bad association is there. We'll go, "Oh, he's a devotee, how can that happen?" But it's been pointed out, by bad association, this happens. So just because we're a devotee doesn't mean that we have to still be careful about association. He hesitated to do this directly. However, because of the Lord's desire to fulfill the desires of his devotees, and because Akura was qualified to possess the jewel, he also desired to give the jewel to him. Therefore, Krishna's intention was, taking the jewel secretly, let Akura flee. This will be considered later. Hearing this news, those other than my brother will feel sorrow. After that, everything will be solved. Right. So it's all just how to work it out, the pastimes, nicely, so they unfold in a natural form in the human way. But, you know, the Leela Shakti is involved. But the point is that he has these pastimes to taste these different tastes along with the different devotees. verses 22 to 42. Krishna claims the jewel from Akrura. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued, not finding the jewel, Lord Krishna went to his elder brother and said, we have killed Shatadandva uselessly. The jewel isn't here. To this, Lord Balaram replied, indeed, Shatadandva must have placed the jewel in the care of someone. You should return to our city and find that person. I wish to visit King Videha, who is most dear to me, right? Because they're already in that side of the kingdom. O king, having said this, Lord Balaram, the beloved descendant of Yadu, entered the city of Mithila. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, this jewel has caused Krishna's defamation and made him enter the cave. Though I know Akrura has similar desires for the jewel, Krishna did not give up partiality to him. This will create more rumors about him. Burning with grief, I cannot approach him. Thinking in this way, Balaram then spoke with affectionate anger. He went to Mithila, though he should have gone back to Dwarka to give joy to the Yadus. Yadu Nandanaha. Right, because then Akrura ends up with the jewel, so they'll think there's still some partiality like that. So it's still going to create some problem. So we can see is wealth creates problem. Attachment to wealth creates problem. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, the king of Mithila immediately rose from his seat when he saw Lord Balaram approaching. With great love, the king honored the supremely worshipable Lord by offering him elaborate worship, as stipulated by scriptural injunctions. The almighty Lord Balaram stayed in Mithila for several years, honored by his affectionate devotee, Janaka Maharaj. During that time, Dhritarashtra's son, Duryodhana, learned from Balaram the art of fighting with a club. Lord Keshava arrived in Dwarka and described the demise of Shatadandva and his own failure to find the Shamataka jewel. He spoke in a way that would please his beloved Satyabhama, right? Because you have to see is that this aspect is there. Now, if he goes and kills him, then Satyabhama will be pleased, right? Because it wasn't like there was a battle and he got killed in battle. No one's seeking revenge from there. Not as you see with the Kshatriyas, right? So that's the proper way of dealing. But here, this was unlawful. It was just uncalled for. He was sleeping. There was no fight. There was no chivalry. And so therefore, then he chases him, kills him. Then it works out. It means he's doing his duty there. He's making the proper adjustment. At the same time, that will be pleasing to Satyabhama. Srila Sanatana Goswami remarks, he was directly the Lord Keshavaha, pervading everywhere, Vibhu, with his unlimited powers. He showed more affection for Satyabhama than to Rukmini and Jambavati. He spoke to her about the death of Shatadandva, running after him, etc. Or, though he was most affectionate to her, he spoke about not attaining the jewel, since he particularly loved the devotees more than his beloveds. He was favoring Akrura, or he spread the universe with his maya, fooling even his beloved. Sukadeva with special bhava speaks with envy. He spoke in that way that would please his beloved. Okay. So in here, so what he's saying is that he favors his devotees greater than the Lakshmis. That is the position that their wives, that's not the important thing. Right? That they're devotees, now that's the important thing. So that's the whole point. It's not because Lakshmi is his wife, therefore she's favored. No, it's because of the devotion that favor is there. Does that make sense? That's why it's said that for the devotees, then they give more pleasure to the Lord than even Shiva, Brahma, or Lakshmi. Because the positions and the duties that they perform by positions, that's not what's pleasing. It's the devotion in which it's rendered. So devotees then therefore come. So we see that when we're dealing with Satyabhama, Rukmini, we're doing it from the position of their devotion to the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? That's the... Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Lord Krishna then had the various funeral rites performed for his deceased relative, Satrajit. The Lord attended the funeral along with well-wishers of the family. When Akura and Kritavarma, who had originally incited Shatabdandava to commit his crime, heard that he had been killed, they fled Dwarka in terror and took up residence elsewhere. Srila Jiva Goswami remarks, Akura and Kritavarma previously believed that Shatabdandava would not be killed since he was known as a Yadava. Now hearing that he had been killed, they were even more terrified. Because they were thinking he wouldn't be killed, you know, because of his position as part of the whole Yadus. But then when he was, then that makes their position not so strong. In Akura's absence, ill omens arose in Dwarka, and the citizens began to suffer continually from physical and mental distresses, as well as from disturbances caused by higher powers, by creatures of the earth. Some men proposed that the troubles were due to Akura's absence. But they had forgotten the glories of the Supreme Lord, which they themselves had so often described. Indeed, how can calamities occur in a place where the personality of Godhead, the residence of all the sages, resides? Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments. As a result of his offenses to the gopis of Braja, by taking Krishna, Akura also had to experience many years of separation from Krishna and to live in Kashi among Krishna's enemies. As many years as Baladev stayed in Mithila, Akura stayed in Kashi. Hearing how he was giving charity to many brahmanas and doing sacrifices on an altar of gold, people began to gossip that Krishna had exiled Akura. Though Balaram, Rukmini, and others did not believe the rumors, in order to clear his reputation, Krishna created many calamities in Dwarka in order to bring Akura back. Question answered? Yes?
Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine, okay. Yeah, so like that, otherwise why would he bring him back? You know, because he has to bring him back, because otherwise if he had just bring him back, then they would think, oh, he's favoring him and not the others and this, so it is about the jewel. But this way, he lets him go, he takes the jewel, right, because it says he's doing worship on a solid gold altar, right? So then, in that way, then he can, yeah. So he took the jewel and all, so it's not about that. He's just leaving it, but because now the citizens are complaining that it's all this and Akura is, you know, because Akura is not here. So then he uses that as an excuse to bring him back. But the reason it had to be separated is because he took Krishna away from the Brajabasis, so therefore he got that reaction of him not being able to be with Krishna.
Since it's fit for that, you know, kind of reactions.
Yes.
So when we apply this to us, because sometimes it seems like action and reaction are quite straightforward, you can see, but sometimes, like here, it's very obscure because calamities which were actually made by Krishna himself. And when we deal among devotees, so we usually project our own, whatever we know how to do, we project it on the society of devotees. How should we judge?
People began to gossip that Krishna had exiled Akura, though Balaram, Rukmini, and others did not believe the rumors. So you just choose which side you want to work. Sit with.
But how we judge how to act.
What is appropriate for us to act in the situation? What are we supposed to do? I mean, one, does the situation that we're worried about, does it actually have anything to do with us? Means, are we and all, in a position of authority in that situation? If we're not, why get involved? You know, if it's an area of our service, then we may be involved to try to see that everything goes nicely. But if not, why do we worry about the village gossip? You know what I'm saying? Because that people are just, that you see is that anything happens, immediately they begin to gossip. That's the ordinary stuff. So we just avoid that. We don't get involved. Is that?
Maharaj, I find that earlier Krishna was insisting that the jewel must be given to offer to Ugrasen, and then like after the murder of Shatadhanva, then it has been given to Akrura, and then Akrura frees. So then like he could have just taken the jewel and handed it over to.
Yes, but then people would think that he wanted it. That was mentioned before about the Acharyas. That's why Krishna's just not getting involved anymore, because people are so attached to it that he's just not getting involved.
No.
That makes sense?
Yes,
so that's the position. So therefore he's not getting involved. Whoever's attached to it, whoever's that, just keep it with them. So Krura is a qualified person, he's a devotee. Satrajit was not a devotee, so therefore he wasn't actually qualified. But Akrura is, so that if it stays with him, then it's nice. Now, if Akrura wants to give it to Ugrasena, then that's fine, because they all thought they want to get it for Krishna, but Krishna just wanted to give it to Ugrasena. So it wasn't about for Krishna. So
is it because of the contamination that Akrura had that he didn't offer the jewel to Krishna? Because that was the initial plan.
Is it because of his contamination? That I don't know that we need to go that far. You know, because Krishna just, you know, told it to keep it with him. Because all these people are attached to it, so let them keep it. You know, and from this, then so many interesting pastimes come up. You know, so.
Once the rumor came, so Krishna is...
Because at that time he said, but then once it had come up, then you saw at that time he gave it back to Satrajit. Mm-hmm. And then it's with the Kura, he just leaves it there. So why get involved? Because people talk anyway, so they can't... Yes. They don't know enough. You know, if you know more philosophy, it's just like, what Sita... did Ravana, you know, kidnap?
Mahasita.
Yeah, so, and which Sita is sitting with Ram in Ayodhya?
The real Sita.
Mm-hmm.
So then the Dobi or whatever he was, you know, some of them seems to be Dobies who make trouble. Like that, right? They always leave a stain on your clothes, or get, you know, make a hole in it, or, yeah, like that. So, then he's complaining about the position of Sita Devi. But he doesn't know what he's talking about. But the problem is common people tend to talk that way. They don't know the philosophy. They don't apply it. You know, wherever their feelings are, they just drop the philosophy and talk.
Even that was after she went to
the fire. Wait. You talk loudly. You can talk loudly. You should.
Yeah.
So you want to try again?
Even like Mother Sita, after coming from Ravana, she was asked to go to fire and come.
Yes. Yeah, and then Agni brings like this. So it's all nicely. So, but still. Ordinary people, they have to talk, because the point is they have a need to talk nonsense. They can't live without talking nonsense. So even if there is no nonsense, they'll turn anything into nonsense to talk about it. Because you can't talk about something proper. You have to talk about nonsense. You know, it's like if I say, yeah, this morning I got a flat tire. You know, and I got stuck, I, you know, changed it, was late to work, you know, by half an hour. Now, is that some good juicy gossip?
No.
So therefore, then, so you have to take something and twist it. You have to take one word and, you know, like that. So now when he gets to the office, he tells that, now the gossip will start. Oh, he only says that he was this and that, but actually, you know, we know that he was doing this and that, because I heard this, and he talked about when he looked at this one, and this and that, so that actually must be what's going on. You know, because I went and I looked at his car, and, you know, the tire didn't look punctured, right? Yes. like that. They just have to talk. Right? And it's either you talk about clothes or you talk about this stuff.
Food.
Yeah. I mean, that's generic. I was talking about it because he's Adobe. So then, but yeah, food would also work.
We talk about food.
All those on the road, that's what they're talking about.
Yeah, no more about food. That's a few words I understand.
Really? I haven't been paying enough attention.
Rice, they always talk about rice. I don't always get home. Maybe because in the morning it's time for breakfast.
Yeah, yeah. So if you had to get some rice, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Maharaj, in this common people gossip, so the kings like Murari and Krishna, when they were acting as king, they take so seriously this common people gossip. Actually, they should not, you know. Why?
The king shouldn't take the gossip seriously.
Why should
they
take it?
They should just let it run off their back like water off the back of a duck. Like that. Because it's not about protecting the people and seeing that the people are satisfied and all that. It's all about just having that standard Kshatriya thick skin. Because if it's not thick, you know, then arrows go through too easily. But if your skin's thick, then they bounce off, you know, like that. Especially on your back, right? Because, you know, if you're facing the opponent and he shoots you and it sticks, then, you know, the mark's there, then people will appreciate, you know. But if you have any marks on your back, that's not considered good. So if you have thick enough skin, the arrows will just bounce off because it's just so, and they won't have any marks on the back, therefore no rumors. Yeah? That means they have to know what the people are thinking so that they know how to deal. But it's not that you're just going by just the whims of the people. You still have to work within the religious principles. And so there may be education, there may be so many things that are there that you have to know what the people are talking. You know what I'm saying? So it's not just about you know, political power and all. That's the modern idea of spies and all that are just to ensure you have power or to gain power. Right? But the Vedic idea is that, of course, is going to be there, but you also have to see what the people are thinking, how they're doing, what things are going on. And then you may hear about, you know, bureaucrats that aren't dealing properly or somebody who's not acting properly or different things like that, or how people aren't, you know, satisfied with something, they're not getting enough. So then this way, then they can address it. So they're trying to find out about the welfare of the people along with maintaining the position, because you can't protect the people unless you're in power. But it's about protecting the people. It's not about being in power. So spies also find out that stuff. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So they go to the market, and whatever happens in the market, that's what they talk about. That's their business. The elder said, previously, when Lord Indra had withheld rain from Kashi, Benares, the king of that city gave his daughter, Gandini, to Swapalka, who was then visiting him. It soon rained in the kingdom of Kashi. Like, Swapalka is Akura.
Akura's father.
Akura's father. Oh, his father. Okay. It soon rained in the kingdom of Kashi. Wherever his equally powerful son Akura stays, Lord Indra will provide sufficient rain. Indeed, that place will be free of miseries and untimely deaths. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, hearing these words from the elders, Lord Janardana, though aware that the absence of Kura was not the only cause of the evil omens, had him summoned back to Dwarka and spoke to him. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, right, because the elders said this, so then if he brings them back, then there's not going to be a problem. If he had just brought him back on his own, then they'd think he's favoring him because of the jewel. So by not doing that, just letting him go, and then after so many years, then the elders are saying, then he could bring him back. Krishna heard the words of the elders and then along with them concluded, iti matva, that this was not the only cause of the calamities. Or, since he had caused the calamities as a pretext for bringing back Akrura, he accepted their words and nothing else. Right? So either they discussed that there's other things happening, or because he created them and then they came up with this solution, and that's he was pleased with that solution, therefore he brought them back. The above verses describe what they said, but he thought to himself, Akura's absence is not the cause of the disasters. The cause is my will to provide a pretext for bringing him, right, because he's a devotee. He then called him back with great respect. Anaya, Krishna called all the Yadavas and brought him by cart. Samanaya has that causative meaning, had him brought. Right, so it means he actually, you know, went the effort to get him. He didn't just send someone to say, come back. He actually sent so that he was brought back. Right, there's the difference. Okay. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Lord Krishna honored Akrura, greeting him confidentially, and spoke pleasing words with him. Then the Lord, who was fully aware of Akrura's heart, by virtue of his being the knower of everything, smiled and addressed him. O Master of Charity, surely the opulent Shamantaka was left in your care by Shantadanva and is still with you. Indeed, we have known this all along. Since Satrajit had no sons, his daughter's sons should receive his inheritance. They should pay for memorial offerings of water and pinda, clear their grandfather's outstanding debts, and keep the remainder of the inheritance for themselves. Right, so he's there instructing how inheritance is used. Right, so therefore the Shraddha ceremony must be performed. Then any debts or anything that are there from that should all be paid, and then whatever's left, that's what they get. Right, not that you just get it and don't worry about the debts yet.
What kind of debts are we talking about?
It may be if he owes anybody money or anything like this and that.
The grandfather.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
But technically, when someone dies, the debt is cleared. Because anybody can claim that, oh, you know, you owe this or that, and, you know, something like that. Or,
oh, I see.
Yeah, because otherwise, you know, they borrow money, then when they die, then, you know, how is it going to work? Because you don't know what they did with the money or that. Now, for that to go on to the dependents and others, then it's not proper. So it's just considered lost money. You know, but if there's something to take care of, something to do, something, you know, let's say others to be taken care of, or medical expenses, or marriages, or all these different things, all those are taken care of.
So the one who does the pinda, he inherits.
He inherits. Who does the pinda gets the inheritance. Then, generally speaking, then they would take care of everybody else, mm-hmm. like that. Or if they want to divide up, then they would get their particular shares. But the who's doing the pinda, who's generally the eldest, or whoever's doing that, he gets a bigger share. So if there's anything doesn't quite match, it goes to the older. Like, you know, say there's 9 brothers and 10 goats, then the eldest gets the extra goat. You don't cut the goat up into 9 pieces. Right? Yeah, like that. Yeah.
We still have this rule, by the way, with mortgage. Yeah, if the person who took the mortgage dies and he has special insurance, then it's cleared.
Oh, okay.
So I guess that's for money.
Could be. It means that so many things people do are from. Because we have to remember the soul generally has been following Vedic culture. So even though they don't have the consciousness of or the training in it, there may be still some samskaras left. And so they'll tend towards those kind of things. But at the same time, due to sin, they may tend not towards those, so you get that also.
Nowadays, when you say that the daughters and the sons should equally inherit the father's property, so that...
The daughters and the sons should be the property. That's all right as long as at the wedding ceremony there's no, you know, big gift or anything given there. See, the point is that the difference is that the daughter gets her inheritance when she gets married. That's the idea of the big gift at that time. And so that's hers. And so then she can take that and use it in her family life. The sons have to wait until the father dies to get the inheritance. So which would you want? To get it now or to get it later? Yeah, well, that's the thing. But that's cheating. So that's cheating. So it's like, no, he should take spend and do all this lavish thing for this, and we should get the inheritance. Then, you know, but it's not happening for the son. So that's why that these are done this way.
Because here it says that Satrajit had no sons, and the only daughter was Satyabhama. But Krishna says that the property should be inherited by her sons. You know?
Yeah, because it wouldn't go to her. It would go to because she's already would Satyajit would have already given her inheritance at the marriage. So then his would go to her sons, and if there's no sons, then it goes to this one, that one. There's a whole hierarchy of where it goes.
Uh-huh. And we also say because he did give this Yamantaka with her, but Krishna returned it.
No, but that's not exactly.
No?
Like that, because the thing is, he didn't actually want to give it. So when you give charity but don't want to give charity, that's charity in the mode of ignorance. So why would Krishna accept that? If he had offered it in devotion, then he would have accepted it.
Yeah, he did not accept the jewel.
Yeah.
He just accepted Satyabhama.
Yeah.
It's interesting at that point that there are no sons yet. So it sounds like, you know, you should give it to me, basically. In a nice way.
That's there, because it would come into his family. The point is the inheritors of the jewel would be in Krishna's family.
Right.
Like that. Yeah. But he'll keep it with the Krur, you know, until such time. But because this is the whole thing about the jewel here. But then later on, whenever they're growing up, you don't hear about it. So it's already been discussed. So. You know, because the opulence of Krishna, then the Shamataka is not, you know, in the running. You know. Like that.
Akura is the official priest for worshipping this jewel then later on. So he appoints him, Krishna.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's the caretaker.
Yeah.
Now, whether he does it himself personally, whether he has a priest do, that's another thing. Mm-hmm.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki Jainatai Gaura Premanandi.